This is Catch Fire by modern folk artist Paul Johnson, also known as Canyon City. This week, we are taking a deep dive into two of Paul's recent singles, Catch Fire and Purple Horizon. Enjoy!
We start so light and faint, taste hearts like wine, chase stars from fire escapes, chase dark.
So what space were you in when writing the song? What was the inspiration behind it?
For me, I was thinking of it initially from a relational standpoint of meeting and falling in love with my wife, and then that relationship growing and carrying momentum with it. But I also noticed how it can apply to many things in the trajectory of life. And one of the things that I try to remember is that everything carries momentum, everything, whether good or bad, that all things build on what has come before it. And so with Catch Fire, the underlying narrative was how these things can start so small that they can like have these little, and so like the first line is, you know, we start so light and faint. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, you know, just like a little spark, a very, you know, you can kind of miss it if you blink. But how these things can pick momentum up and can turn into these just massive things. And so in a relationship standpoint, it's, you know, just a catching of an eye or the nuances of a conversation, but then it can turn into this really life altering, beautiful thing that then goes on and alters many other things in the world and lives, and has this just ripple effect into the world. But it starts with this place of trying to just describe a small beginning. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the song is the growing of the momentum and, you know, the catching of the fire and exploring sort of larger and larger and less containable metaphors.
Yeah.
And things that start to seem just, you know, outside of wrangling in. And so you start to get like hurricanes and like natural things, you know, stuff that just is like outside of your control. Like it just grows to supernatural proportions. And so the hope of the song, the hope of the narrative is to paint that picture of a very innocent, very like picturable spark and beginning. And then it just like, it almost gets into the like distorted massive metaphor,
right? Yeah.
In the way that a you know, like a wildfire, you know, like this something that carries that same trajectory would do. And so and then you know, the tag of the chorus being, you know, like fire catch fires, this mm-hmm. idea of the rippling on of the thing, the momentous build. To reference back to the songwriting process, really began to understand that that's what it was about, you know, maybe a quarter of the way through.
Okay. Yeah.
and then realized oh, that's what it's about. And then at that point, clean up everything. You know, so sometimes sure. I might, you know, go back and change things that don't serve that narrative and replace it with things that do. And other times I'll just think, oh, we just need to like tweak this here or there. And it always wanted to say this anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of a word vomit way of describing it. But that was behind Catch Fire.
No, I think momentum is a really good way of describing both the lyrical progression, but also kind of the musical progression of it, right? You start off like the first line of the song, very light and faint. You sing in this sort of very low tone. You have kind of just your guitar, the piano's playing really softly in the beginning, and sort of more elements are added as the song progresses. You get percussive elements kind of build a little bit in that second verse. You've got a little more piano then coming into the chorus, and then you have this bridge, which is just kind of this huge explosion where you have a lot more of those elements going on. when you were writing that song and you reached kind of a quarter of the way through, did you kind of fit the musicality of that song to fit those same lyrical themes as well?
Yeah, I think that once the lyrical narrative started to emerge, the music, almost without thought, followed. And so I guess the best way that I could describe is it just seemed like the right place to go. Yeah. And so I can't say that I was having a very clear thought of like, well, I should probably make this bridge sound this way, right, as much as it just felt like at that point, the story and then me trying to be emotionally inside that as much as possible in the writing process to ride that inspiration. It just seemed like the right time to just kind of like open up in that space. Yeah. And then what Zach is great at doing, one of the reasons I've really enjoyed collaborating with him, is he's really good at identifying where I'm going, either emotionally or with my initial instrumentation, and then really carrying it forward. And so a moment like that, he can identify, okay, this is what Paul's trying to do emotionally, and yeah, really build it out and let it blossom. But he's also able to identify when the right thing to do is to stand back too, and to pull back. Sure. and show restraint. So he's able to walk that line very artfully. And I appreciate the way that he kind of intuits that too. And so if there's something where he has that thought of like, oh, this is sort of an emotional high point, he can yeah, pick up on that and build on, you know, some of the things that I've tried to do to also express that. And we seem to be able to kind of bounce back and forth in those places.
Yeah. So how many of your dynamic elements do you put in kind of in the post songwriting process, right, on sort of the production side of things, versus how much of it is built into the songwriting itself? So one of the things, a specific example I can give is you have this really cool sort of piano counter melody that goes on and kind of kicks in after the first verse and adds a lot of dynamic flavor to it. Are those the sort of elements that you think about when you're writing the song initially, or do you kind of go back and after you've written sort of the core of the song and say, okay, how can I build in more sort of dynamics to this?
I think it's a little bit of both, in that, and this is another reason why I enjoy solo writes a lot, and then bringing in, if it's appropriate to bring in collaborators in the production phases, doing it after the fact, is I think sometimes in the writing process, if you were just sitting in the room listening to me play through the song, you might not really hear much of a difference in the way that I, because a lot of times I'm primarily writing on acoustic guitar, and so verse two might not sound too different dynamically than verse one in its most acoustic sense, right, but emotionally it's there, and so it's hard to describe how you're kind of hearing what it will be, what it could be. And so even in the writing process, there's this feeling of, okay, here's, you know, we're going to kind of grow it here, it's going to blossom here, it's going to sort of pull out other textures and characteristics. Mm-hmm. Although in the most just kind of bare bones version of it, that's not always there in like the first work tape, those yeah, dynamics, but they're fully intended. And when I'm playing it, where my heart's at, where my mind's at is expecting this growing foundation. And then when in instances where I've collaborated with Zach, every once in a while, he'll catch that emotional build and build upon it.
Yep.
And I try to do that too in kind of my first half of the production, of just throwing what I can to, sure, to serve that. But there are also times where he adds layers that I didn't think of, or the dynamics will change in a way that I didn't anticipate initially, but appreciate when I listen back. Yep. And it's still, you know, it doesn't change the core heart of the song, but it helps it be expressed in a way that elevates it. And so like those piano lines in the second verse of Catch Fire, those are all Zach. Those that like the little ding, ding, ding. Uh-huh. Like, and to me, like it made perfect sense when I heard it, and it sounded like, yeah, of course, like that's where that goes. Cause in, you know, playing it, I totally felt that some sort of build, some sort of elevation would happen there. But Zach, without really needing to have any prompting, through his interpretation of that in there in a way that wasn't obvious to me, that I wasn't hearing those lines when I was doing my pass at it, but he did. And I feel like it served the original intent, even though it was a totally new idea.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a nice collaboration of like, it's something that I wouldn't have thought of, and it's, I'm glad that's there, but it's also sort of the catching of each other's wave.
Ashes rise fast and I can't hold a high, this violet flame crashing high.
So where does the bridge come in your songwriting process? I've heard some artists say that they even will sometimes write the bridge first because it has sort of the most emotional impact. Mm. And I've heard artists say that they will not even write a bridge and, you know, kind of add it in later and yeah. as sort of an extra element to add, you know, a little bit of extra oomph to the song. Talk about that both from a general perspective and then maybe also specifically to Catch Fire, where did that bridge come in the songwriting process?
I think I have two very opposite approaches with bridges. And I think Catch Fire, I'm thinking back to writing that one, was the one where the bridge comes at the very last bow on it. And so I think in that case, I had the verses, the choruses, knew that there needed to be, or felt that there needed to be this emotional rise. And then I think once the verse and chorus were in play, at least musically, I'm not quite sure if they were lyrically in place yet, but at least musically, you know, kind of knew here's a structure. The bridge was the final wrapping and bow on that. The other way that it sometimes happens is that the bridge will occasionally happen first as a failed chorus, but not to demean the quality or the function of the bridge at all. But every once in a while, I'll write a song and fully anticipating something to be the chorus, and then as I write the song, I realize, oh no, that was the bridge the whole time. Like it was not because it's not good enough to be the chorus or anything like that, but it's just I realize in hindsight that the function of that fits so much better in that place. And so, but a bridge is also similar to a chorus in that it's this place of whereas verses can be metaphorical explorations. You can dig a little deeper into the storyline if it serves a storyline, into the imagery and things like that. You can even be a little more abstract in the verses. I feel like choruses are kind of an anchor of sorts. It's a place where the point is really clear, and it brings all that imagery, all that exploration that's around it, into the centralized place. And it's also an emotional elevation, or it's not necessarily elevation, not because that would imply that the verses aren't equally above there, but maybe a dynamic elevation oftentimes. But the bridge can be that exact same thing. It can be a place of clarity where it's sort of like where you kind of throw down all the pretense and just be like, you know, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it can be a moment of like very candidness. And it can also be a place of dynamic heightening. Not always. Sometimes it's just a change of pace or a change of perspective or sort of a moment to breathe after all the stuff.
Sure.
Just, a few of my bridges are that. Some are just instrumental. Like, all right, I just said all the stuff. Now it's like live in it for 15 seconds and just kind of let it mix. But because bridges and choruses, I think, share from time to time those commonalities of being places where the message is a little more candid. And the dynamic is a little more raised. Sometimes I write a bridge thinking it's going to be a chorus early on, and then come back and realize, oh no, that was the bridge. As I talk about it, I'm trying not to use the word bridge because I don't want to be redundant. But it, you know, in many ways, it's sort of, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of you know, like walking across. All right, you just did all the stuff, and now you're kind of getting to the final moment, and it's sort of the passageway into that.
Don't know where you're going. What do you say when you don't know what you know? And what do you reap when you don't know what you're sowing? Where do you go when you don't know where you're going? Where do you run when you don't know what you're racing? What do you want when you don't know what you're chasing? How do you justify the fight you're facing? Where do you run when you don't know what you're raising? Oh, this life is long. Oh, the lines are gone. You're on my mind, hey, I'm on an island. Thank you.
you talked a little bit about how your verses can be a little more metaphorical, and then your choruses are kind of the real grounding of the song. In Purple Horizon, you have this almost call and response to the verses and the chorus, right? The verses, each line asks a question. I think every single line in the verse is like sort of this series of independent questions. And then you have this answer in the chorus, which ends with the line, "We're lost to be found." Tell me a little bit about kind of the inspiration, I guess, behind Purple Horizon, and then your process of coming up with those ideas.
Yeah, the Purple Horizon is both affirms all that, but it also inverts it a bit, because it's almost the moment of imagery in Purple Horizon, and that but it's also the thing that kind of ties all these otherwise maybe equally emotional or maybe even distressing questions, but then it's kind of this place where it kind of wraps all that together and says, well, here's why, you know, we're going through this, or maybe here's something that I can, here's a way that I can traverse this with meaning, even if I don't come to a conclusion or find an answer in this.
Yeah.
So I got married in early 2019, and I found that it's changed my songwriting in a surprising way, and that a lot of my songs leading up to finding that security, that relational security, were a lot about heartbreak and longing and floating around in that space. And then now in marriage, there's it's not to say that it doesn't come with its own set of challenges and a variety of emotions, but there's a security in a place where I was once very not secure. I think I wrote about that insecurity a lot, and as a result, I think I'm starting to move the lens a little bit outward now. Instead of talking about loneliness and desire and things like that, still talk about that plenty, but in the framing of looking out the window rather than always sort of looking at, here's me in the middle of the story doing this. I guess the best way I could describe it is sort of a broadening of the frame.
Yeah.
Here's this thing that I'm really grateful for, and it's really beautiful, but also like it's still being human is this really interesting, painful, joyful, horrible, wonderful thing that we're all sort of figuring out how to do, and then exploring, let's go into some of these other textures. Let's go into some of these other things. And so that's maybe more of a comment on the new set of songs as a whole, but Purple Horizon, I think, fits within that framework. One of the things that I've tried to do since Refuge was to lay down the temptation to have a lesson. I used to feel like I had to like wrap it up nicely, be like, you know, here's this, and you know, it's all okay because of this, or here's sort of like that. And one of the things that I've learned throughout the years is it's enough and it's valuable in its own right to simply just be there and to not necessarily know the answers, but to say like, hey, I'm hearing the questions with you. I feel this too. And to just keep company and to be kept company.
Yeah.
And that's a worthwhile thing. And so I've kind of put away the needing to have the clean wrap up, needing to answer it. And so Purple Horizon is really just peppers with these things like, what's, you know, what are we doing? Where are we going? Who am I becoming? Mm-hmm. How do I navigate all this? How should I feel about all this? And it really doesn't offer many solutions, but the one thing in the chorus saying, you know, maybe this is just on the way to something. But it doesn't really ever articulate what that something is. It just says, you know, this is we're on the way, we're together, and if you can sort of find a little moment of peace in that, go ahead and allow yourself that. And in the meantime, you know, we'll try to keep each other company in this really beautiful but traumatic thing that it is to be alive. Purple Horizon is it's looking outward a little bit more. It's broadening the scope.
Yeah.
From a songwriting standpoint, I think it has a lot of those similar elements of like the anchors and the choruses.
Yeah. The verses are the ones asking these sort of philosophical introspective questions. From a musical perspective, they resolve on that root chord, on that one chord. They have this very neat, clean resolution to them from a musical perspective. And the chorus, while it grounds the song, and it, you know, it may not give the cleanest of answers to the questions, it is written sort of as more affirmative statements, but the chord progression has sort of hangs on this, you know, major five chord at the end of it, which has sort of this tension to it. In theory, we call that, I guess, an imperfect cadence. And so there's kind of that flip of ideas, the tension between happier, brighter verses with almost darker, more scary lyrics, and kind of a more dramatic chorus with more resolved lyrics. Is that ever something you think about? Maybe not in this specific instance, but do you ever think about creating intentional tension between sort of the lyrical themes and the musical themes that are going on? Or do you ever think about the interplay between kind of the emotionality and the lyrics of your music?
I do in a broader sense. I really love the place of tension, because I think that's kind of where we live. Like you're rarely totally sad, and you're rarely totally happy. Like it's usually like, yeah, like I feel pretty good, but you know, I'm a little worried about this thing next week, or like, oh man, like, you know, I'm pretty bummed, but hey, I can still be grateful for these things. And you know, I can still find a lot to feel okay about. And even, I mean, like something as simple, I almost said as simple, but something as commonly experienced as love is attention. It's, you know, there's pain and the joy, and it's weird, and it's like a happiness that pricks you a little bit. And I don't know if that's a consciousness of you wish you could hold on to a moment, but time keeps doing its thing, or but even like enjoyable tension like that seems to be present in a lot of the beautiful things. And like I just went camping a few days ago, you know, looked out on a really beautiful mountain landscape, and there's this like satisfaction to it. And there's also this weird like desperation to it too. Like, I don't want to, you know, look away, but I know I eventually have to, or yeah, this isn't forever. And so I think we live in that tension, and the most beautiful things highlight it. Like if a song, or if even if a section of a song sounds too just fully happy or fully sad, that doesn't sort of sit right to me, because it feels unrealistic. Yeah. You know, that's not how we live. That's not who we are. And so I think to some degree, if there's something that's distressing, like, you know, the verses of Purple Horizon, there's maybe something in me that wants to create some, you know, stability in the chord structure. And then if there's a place where you're feeling comfort, there's a place that wants to say, you know, but find value in the little edge of pain that you get with that too. And so it's not definitely not like a conscious, I wish that I had control to the level where I could just sort of call out those things. I really enjoy when that happens, but I don't always know exactly why it's happening or how to get there until I've just kind of, you know, followed these bits of inspiration into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, music is a language, right? I mean, and sure, these different elements that we're talking about, from cadences and theory, are just kind of part of a lexicon that, as a professional musician and someone who's grown up around music, you've incorporated into your repertoire at this point. And so regardless of, you know, whether or not you're sitting down and thinking specifically about, okay, you know, this chord goes here because I'm trying to do this, like you said, the different ways in which you approach giving life to your lyrics is going to naturally incorporate those ideas and concepts when you're trying to speak through your music.
Yeah, I think a language is a really great way to articulate it, in the same sense that you and I are not thinking about, well, I am, because I oftentimes stumble over my own words. But you know, like in the midst of a conversation where if you're trying to express something to a person, rarely are you thinking about the words as they happen, but you're sort of, it's been internalized so much that you're kind of composing as you go.
So we got to talk a little bit about this post-chorus real quick, sure. Just because it's, you know, kind of the apex of this song. It's got, you have, you know, the strings come in, you have this piano playing this really, really pretty melody line that has, I think it's like dotted eighth note delay sort of on it, yeah. That kind of U2, Hillsong United kind of slapback effect that gives it this really, really cool rhythmic quality to it. The first thing that I thought of when I heard it, it's not the same in any way, but it evoked kind of the bridge post-chorus to Fix You by Coldplay. That's kind of the same feeling that I got from it. How did you come up with that idea for that bridge? Where in the process did that come out? And you know, what was kind of the emotionality behind it? What space were you in when you added that portion of the song?
Where that dynamic began is, it's hard for me to pinpoint. I remember in writing it, I think I was just really in the moment, really in the headspace, and the bridge didn't feel like it needed a big change of like chord progression or anything like that. It just felt like it needed to just go farther and deeper into the emotion. And so I just started singing that, you know, melody, when I was writing it. Mm-hmm. But then when I did my first pass of production on it, did some of the guitar work on it, and that kind of, the guitar tones that I always tend to lean to are really echoey and sort of these, mm-hmm. these clean spatial things. And I think at that point really that became a dynamic turn where it really built bigger than the rest of the song.
Yeah.
And then once I handed it off to Zach, he caught that pretty quickly, actually lengthened it. My initial version of it was I think like two or four bars shorter. But he totally caught on to the, you know, like here's, we're going to really swell bigger than anything else in this song here.
Yeah.
And then he was able to accomplish that dynamic in a really beautiful way that, though I started the bass foundation of it, I think that a lot of like the actual blossoming of it and the string arrangement and some of those elements were a lot of his capability and skill set of knowing how to just be like, okay, so that's kind of an instance of him being like, I know where you're going, and then really helping it fly from there.
Yeah.
It's funny to think of like how those things originate, but it just seemed right at the time. You know, it was something as simple as thinking, you know, this, we just need to climb this thing rather sure. than, you know, sort of change progressions, a simple little singing, and then that kind of built in the first phase of production, and then the second phase of production was amplified. But I'm very happy that it was amplified, because I think it ended up being my favorite part of the song and maybe one of my favorite moments of the EP.
You know, a lot of people would take that and kind of end on that high note at the end of that, you know, with the piano and guitar and everything swelling. You decide to kind of bring it back down at the end in sort of this final dynamic moment. What was the thought behind that?
It felt like the right contrast. It seemed like for that whole ride that there needed to be sort of a moment of just feeling all that kind of whoosh over you. And then the things that are carried over that. So I think that last verse is, though it's still a series of questions, it's zoomed out a bit more than the other ones. And I think the narrative is starting to come to this place of acceptance. And so it's sort of like the sunset of sorts. Mm-hmm. And so the quiet after the storm of like looking back and seeing, you know, all the stuff that just happened musically. The other part of it might just be, I just don't know when to stop talking sometimes. And, you know, that translates into my music from time to time. But it just felt like there's a little more to be said. And there's maybe a moment to sit down, just kind of feel that. And it's also, I really love ledge moments in music. Whereas going into that bridge, even though it was definitely a dramatic shift, there is still very much a swell and an incline. And I love when it's just the contrast of being like, here's the very highest we're going to go, right next to the very lowest that we're going to go.